According to my little know-it-all phone, it's 7 o'clock, and we will call this meeting to order.
Okay, Lou Ankerly.
Here.
Adam Melton.
Here.
Harold Patrick. Faye Knox.
Here.
Hayden Bryson. We'll call you Andy.
Hayden.
Hayden Bryson and Andy Duggan.
Here. Thank you, Charlie. Lowell, if you would, please.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we can come into this place and conduct the city's business. We just ask that it be done in accordance with your will. Father, we pray for those in East Tennessee and Western North Carolina that have lost everything, and pray for those in upcoming hurricane's path. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mel.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. All right, that brings us to the next item, which is public comment period on agenda items. Anybody have any comments on the agenda items? Now, if you're on the agenda, you'll have a spot to speak. Yes, sir.
Yeah. On your consideration for ordinance 241, your first reading for a view zone from R1 to R2 on Auburn Town Road, I request you not approve that to an R2. From what my understanding is, when TDOT went out there and looked at the property, it was okay for a residential R1, but in order for the applicant to go forward with any type of townhomes, they need to go to Chattanooga for approval. Well, I think we're going to put the cart before the horse if we change this to R2 and Chattanooga comes back and states that they're going to require a signal light at that intersection. I'd like to remind you, back January 2nd, 2023, in your report here, you consider an installation of a traffic light at that same intersection, and apparently I don't think you did that because of the cost prohibitive. So I think we need to think about that when we look at going forward with this project. If TDOT comes back and says now we're going to require the city to put in a traffic signal, then we're going to have to pay for it. That's what I'd like to say about that one there.
All right, thank you for your comments. Anybody else got any comments?
One other thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Also, when we're bringing in townhomes here, as we all know, we're all here about water concerns within the city of Woodbury and the infrastructure. And I know we're supposed to pump out 100,000 gallons of water a day out of the Stone River. I'd like to know where we're at capacity-wise and what is our projected growth, where we're at our max on taking water out of there, or reaching that 100,000 gallon a day limit.
Is that something you'd like to address, Shane?
What's that, man? 100,000 gallons a day is not right. We have
100,000, I said. I was told 100,000 a day.
I don't know where you got that. We're allowed to pull 1.7 million gallons a day out. Okay. Month of September, we average 800,000 gallons a day. We're well below an 80% barrier. When we reach an 80% barrier, the state requires us to have a corrective action plan, and we have that in place because I'll be talking to them about that. We're looking at expanding the water plant. We're doing work on water lines. And we're ahead of the game. Not ahead of the game, but we're working on what we need to be doing. But right now, we're pumping, like I say, 800,000 gallons a day, so that puts us 900,000 gallons below our capability.
All right, thank you, sir. Any other comments? All right, if not, we will move on to the next item, which is approve the minutes of the September 3rd, 2024 meeting. Does everyone have a chance to read over the minutes?
Move we approve them as are.
I have a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second motion, Mr. Mayor.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so next item, Cunningham Road residents to discuss water availability.
I've got something I'd like, you know, from the teacher. So, I just want you to have something. I will read this, although I don't like to do that, just for the record. I will read it, and I'll introduce those that are with me tonight. We did not bring all of the people from our road, just because we wanted this to be more of a fact-gathering thing tonight. But, does that got a front and a back, Andy?
Yes.
Okay. So, my name is Karen King. Most of you know me. I'm a lifetime resident of Cannon County. I've worked my whole career in Cannon County. My husband, David King, is with me. He is also a lifetime resident of Cannon County. And then we also have with us Christian Pearson, who is our next-door neighbor. They're going to be moving in shortly, and he is, and his family are going to be an absolutely fantastic addition to our community. So, we are really glad to have them. I wanted to touch base with you. They let me be the spokesman tonight, but I'll let them add if they want to. We bought our land, both the Pearsons and ourselves bought our land in June of 2022. We live at 1089 Cunningham Road. Christian lives right beside us. What is your address, Christian?
941.
Okay, 941. From the Jernigan Farm split. And we were told at that time by no one in this room, it was announced at the auction, that there was no city water access for our land. So we bought our land knowing in all transparency that that was announced at the sale. But what we did not know, and that's what I've added here, is that there is a 2-inch water line that runs under our driveway. And we did not know that, so we got ready to construct our driveway, and it had to be marked where that line was. It is a private line, so I do understand it's a private line, but I just want to establish the fact that the capacity is already there. There's a 2-inch line that runs right under our driveway, and we can't have any of it. So those signs were added when we began construction, that the picture I have there. We also did not know that everyone on that stretch of land, when you get to the curve, at that time had city water except for us. So it's everyone now except for us and the Pearsons. Right before 1235 Cunningham Road, there are at least 4 taps that extend to houses beyond that point. And one of these taps feeds a line that runs under our driveway. And we don't want anybody to lose the access to water they already have there, so that's not our point here. But right now, and on the back, I'm kind of getting the cart ahead of our horse, but right now we have a 1,000-gallon tank, and my husband goes 2 times 1 week, 3 times another, and alternates every other week for us to bring water into our tank. So we have no access to water. Which limits lots of things, including finances, when you try to go do finances. They don't like that very much sometimes either. So here's what we're asking. Besides our 2 families, Anna Foster, Roland, and David, her husband, are building. They already have a barn there. They will be behind our house in the spring. We have 5 other families already that live on our road that are interested in water. Dottie Baskins owns a farm. I've talked to her. She completely ran out. Her water source completely ran out this summer during the drought, and she was hauling water for her horses and cattle. So that's a hard thing, too. Our ultimate request would be for the county to apply for a grant to run a water line that would supply us and the rest of Cunningham. We have water within a mile of us every direction. From 64, we're within a mile. From Knox Road, it's less than a mile. From 99 to us, it's less than a mile. For all the families that would want that water. And it could come from any of those 3, or maybe all 3 and meet in the middle. I don't know how best that would work, but we're really close to water, and we don't have any. In the meantime, the Pearsons and my husband and I would like for the county to gain access to the line that's currently in front of our house and provide us with taps off of that line, or give us a tap beside the other 4 and allow us to run a private line beside the line like they were allowed to do. We were told capacity was the issue. However, if you look on the back, we're straight downhill from the line that's already there, so it's going to flow right to us. And the Pearson's house is downhill from ours, so that would also not be an issue. And then I've already told you about the 1,000-gallon tank. Christian and his wife have dug a well, and it's straight sulfur. We had sulfur in a previous house on Burt Road. Dave and I were instrumental in helping get city water up Burt Road because there was no water there. We bought that land either. Because sulfur water absolutely ruined our house. All of our appliances, all of our HVAC, all of our plumbing connections, everything had to be replaced because of sulfur. So he's going to have to put an extensive filtration system or haul water like we do. So I don't expect you to make decisions tonight. We just want to know if any of this is possible or in the works and what we would need to do to get that started. And so I'm going to ask my husband and Christian if they want to add anything.
They do a great job. We are in the midst of a decision of putting, like you said, a quite expensive filtration system to get the sulfur out of the water. I think the easier alternative, I shouldn't say easier, this is a big task for those involved in getting us city water, but whether it's the tap off of that 2-inch line or something more extensive, that's something we've been hoping for.
And who owns the 2-inch line? What's the...
It goes to the Archibalds that live across from Christian.
Oh, it's a private service line.
What happened when I came here? They had been allowed, if the water line stopped right here, and say a mile down the road, there's been three houses down through there, they allowed them to put meters right here and run private lines. You get into headaches because that's all in county right-of-way. You've got to go through the county highway department. You've got to put in their right-of-way. And then any time they work a ditch, grade a ditch, they pull several service lines, and everybody's mad at the county for working their ditches. Like Karen and I talked, David, and I feel for them. I made a claim when they sold their farm down there that we weren't running any water. And like she's saying, there's a man that's got a tap up there, and he's running his service line. It runs a great deal down through there. I'd get out, it's a good piece. And he had to get permission from the county to run it in there right away. That's about the last one that I let go out like that. We stopped doing that because of the issues it brings up. You wind up having people getting mad at one another and they come to me and want to resolve it. And it's none of our business once they get, like I said, it's a private line. I would be reluctant to take over that 2-inch line. Number one, it's going to be a 2-inch line. I don't know how it was put in. We didn't inspect it. All we know is our service line to the meter. I don't know what to put in the ground. I have no idea. On top of that, you know, of course, Karen, her neighbor, would get water, and you spoke with Dottie, maybe, or somebody else.
She contacted me. But
then who else would sell part of their property and then they'd want that? And it would go on from there, and you've got a 2-inch line, it's not going to supply everybody. It's just not. If you spoke about the county running water, it'd be up to the city. If the county wants to apply for a grant to run water down through there and run a 6-inch, tie into that 6-inch and run it on down through there and tie into the other end, it'd be a great thing if they can make it work. It hadn't worked in the past because there's not enough houses to pay the depreciation that has to be paid on the lines once we've taken it over. That's what it amounts to. Now, I know there's more houses there than there was. It may work now. That'd be something that the county may be looking, they may want to do a CDBG grant on it and look at something like that.
Have you, spoke with the county executive about?
This is our very first step because we do know that the water comes from you guys and you guys maintain the line. So that's really what we're doing is fact finding right now. Like, what do we need to do? So you're saying we would need to contact who? Tell me who.
That would be my first line. And applying
for a grant to put a line.
And I'm going to tell you right now, that Cunningham Road is out there at the end. It's at the outer reaches of our system. We've had issues through the drought already with the people at the end of the system out there keeping enough water pressure.
Right.
And it's something we have to have engineers look at. If the hydraulics worked. But I know a 2-inch line was working.
Okay.
The 2-inch line was running because I told him, you're far enough away, a 3/4-inch line ain't going to carry you enough water to do what you want to do
right.
At that distance.
But if we contact the county and that's something that they agree to do, then the city would take that line over? Is that what you're saying?
If it would work, I'd have no problem with it. It'd be up to the this board right here to, if they were wanting to go in, I mean, they'd have to take it over. It's not just up to me.
Right.
But I would see no problem. It'd be a good thing if, it took me to have it lying around all the way down and tied in on the other end. So what is it down, Reed Hall or Knox, what is it, Knox?
Knox Road. It comes almost to the end of where Cunningham ties in with Knox. There's a pass.
If I went down there and tied in, it would tickle me to death.
Would that help with capacity at all?
It would help with capacity, it would help with circulating dead ends or the worst thing in the world for a water pump. And it would be a good thing.
And we don't mind doing the work. This is just our first stop to see what we need to do to get that started.
Well, I guess our suggestion to you would be that your next step would be go to the county executive and let them know what you got in mind. Tell them you came here.
Okay.
Tell them if they can get a grant to fund it, you know, that we'd be on board.
Okay.
We'd be on board.
And that would have to be voted on by the alderman, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Can I make a statement or ask a question?
Yeah, what?
Would it be possible? I know there's a cost to it. What if we supplied a 6-inch line to your specifications and extended it? It's 1,000 foot to my driveway. What if we extended and I know how much pipe costs. I know would that be an option?
Is that something?
Or is that something that you would entertain? Let's just not necessarily an answer right now. Is that?
And that would be something we take over too, right, Shane?
But let's say if we installed it or maybe a shared call. I don't know what options we have here, but if, let's say, we supplied a line, or even if we done it to meet your specifications in your inspection, could we?
Yeah, we'd entertain that.
Okay.
That's
fair. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate this. This is just our first step, so we just wanted to kind of get on board.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Shane.
All right.
You would thank me every day, Charlie, that you know, because you know.
Andy, excuse me, before we go on, we're at capacity and this poor man is standing. Can we move some more chairs?
No, I'm fine.
There's
no
more. Hey, I'd rather have you move away.
Here's
one. That way.
I would
like everybody to be in the audience.
That's fine. We've got one here, guys. Don't worry about that.
Okay. There's one right there.
And like I said, if y'all need,
we put y'all up front
on the agenda, because if y'all need to go,
perfect.
We'll
listen to one other thing. Okay. So thank you, Amy. But then we may skip going. Thank you.
All right, it's going to bring us to our next item. Houston Hills residents to discuss water pressure issues. Do y'all have a representative here?
Yeah.
Looks like it's Mr. Jeff Smith.
Yeah, and most of y'all know me, but for the ones that don't, I'm Jeff Smith. The ones that do know me, there's a lot of us in here that worked at PeeWeeson when we were teenagers, so
yeah.
I'm not going to tell you how many years ago that was.
Yeah, I wish you wouldn't.
We appreciate y'all, and I'm here on behalf of the Houston Hill neighborhood. And we would like to first thank the rescue squad and the fire department for what they did for Ronnie Mahaffey's time up there. It was devastating. Luckily, nobody got hurt, just minor, but man, they done an awesome job. You just have to be there to see these guys. They done a really good job. My hat's off to them. They done an awesome job. So we realize some of the present administration did not create this, but inherited this problem. There is no pressure up there, and we're concerned about having adequate water pressure to the hydrants. And we'll see if y'all have a plan in place. We've heard that there's been a engineer come in and maybe talk to y'all.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
Okay. You know, and maybe there's grants out there, et cetera. We don't know. We're asking too, like hearing them. We want to know where we stand and what we can do to help.
This is, who's y'all's HOA president?
I am.
Okay, I thought. I was about to reach out to you. I was going to try to find out who you was. And then you came here first. That's fine. I'm glad y'all are here. This is a concern for me too. If I looked out my door and seen a fire hydrant, well, I think it was a fire hydrant.
Right.
you know, I would think it's a fire hydrant. You know, that's, you know, it's just common sense. That's just the way it is. But that's not what that's not what has happened.
No, I think we have four in the neighborhood, and they're just all landscaping.
Their service is kind of blow off hydrants. You know, the first step is this. I'm going to get with our engineer. I spoke with him tonight. I spoke to him once before, but we're going to get together. We're going to find out what the problem is. Of course, we know the problem is low pressure.
Sure.
We're going to find out why it's low pressure. Then we're going to find out what can be done about that. There may be one solution, maybe two, maybe three solutions to get that pressure. And then we've got to look at the cost to fix that. Like I said, this is not going to be an overnight fix.
No.
You know, it's not going to be an overnight fix. But I do want y'all to know that I'm on top of it. That I'm. This is a concern for me. Like I said, I said, if I looked out my door and I seen a fire hydrant in my front yard, I would think that I had a fire hydrant in my front yard. You know.
And I think they had to go to O'Reilly's or somewhere to fill the
trunks. Like I said. It's all preliminary. I'm talking to our engineer. We're going to do the study on this. We're going to find out what can be done about it.
Right. And we were kind of wondering if the pump house down there at the bottom could be upgraded.
That was one of my options. That was one of my questions. Do we just need a bigger pump?
Right. Then again, if we do that, those hydrants, can they stand the pressure?
Well,
we don't know what kind of pipes there do we.
And then again, it ain't as much the hydrants. Can your kitchen sink handle the problem?
Right.
You know, pressure. You know, so you know you got to be careful about asking for more pressure, because you're just putting pressure on your hydrants. You put pressure on your house too.
Exactly.
So you know, we don't want to overload your houses and blow. You know, go from frame of fire to, you know, flooding your house.
Right. And most of us have booster pumps. I mean, speaking for myself, most of us have to have booster pumps as it is now, just to have sufficient water pressure to take a shower or whatever. But we got booster pumps under our house now.
I say, you know, by state law, the city is required to hold 20 pounds of pressure at your meter. And why? There's a lot of things I got to look at. You know,
sure.
Why? How was this approved? Who approved this? You know, when this was approved, and you know, like I said, it's a lot of stuff I got to look at.
Sure.
But I'm looking at it. I am looking at it. And I am working on it. And I want y'all to know that I'm working on it. So.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right.
Do we have a time frame for your meeting with the engineer and when we can expect some results?
I'm probably going to try to get with him sometime this month. I know that he's got a lot. He don't just work for us. He works for other places too, and we've got him pretty busy on some water things that he's working on for us. It's kind of time sensitive. We've got some grant money that we're working with, and we've got to get that worked out to get the grant money. So I don't want to overload him and lose that, but I'm going to get with him sometime in the next couple of weeks and see if I can.
Has he not been contacted already about this?
He's aware of it.
We had kind of thought there would be the three alternatives or something that be presented tonight that you already had met with him.
We've talked to him about it, but there hasn't been any, as far as I know, there hadn't been any. Anything like that, but no way. Do you know of any, have y'all talked about that? Oh, you do have some things, all right.
Some options.
All right. You gonna tell us?
Yeah.
I'm always the last one to know.
Might you hit? Huh? Make sure I don't speak wrong with you.
All right.
Redoing the water line, right?
You mean to go over?
Yes, you go over.
Okay. So,
are you the engineer?
I'm the engineer.
Okay.
So, the problem you all have is where you're located at, particularly right at the top of the hill, right when you turn into the subdivision, you are 70 feet from the overflow of the tank. The best pressure anybody right there at that intersection will ever have today is 35 pounds. That's it. That's all you're going to get. Just physically impossible to go higher without some other means. The subdivision was built many years ago. When it was built, fire protection was not a problem. It was not something that was regulated. It was used to put a fire hydrant on a 4-inch water line. That is now not a thing you can do. So the fire hydrants you have were put in, but they were not put in to meet a specific fire flow. Okay? So that's, it's all history. It's all water under the bridge. Y'all all understand that. So what I've done is confirmed. Actually, the fire chief had some numbers he ran too, and he and I's numbers are really close on what we actually were getting on some of those numbers. The problem you're going to have to, that's got to be solved, is you've got to have more volume closer to where you're at. So whenever you start trying to push water in a pipe, I'm going to go into some rudimentary hydraulics. I don't want to bore anybody, but you hook a 50-foot garden hose up to your spigot, and you turn on the water. You see how much water's coming out of the end of that hose. You put 100 feet on the end of that hose, and you see how much water's coming out of the end of that hose. You put another 100 foot on there, and you see how much you got coming out of the end of that. So you're making the water work to get down the pipe, just like we have to work to drive our cars up, you know, things like that. So that work is what we call head loss. So moving water through a pipe is a double-edged sword. The more you push through it, the harder the water's having to work, the more loss is in the pipe. The problem you have on top of the hill is you're already very close to the elevation of the tank. And when you try and push water up over that hill, it's so far up the hill and then back down the hill that you use all of the energy that's available just to get it up over the hill. So the options that I gave Shane tonight that we had looked at, and one is a larger diameter pipe that would come basically from just a little bit west of the co-op. There's a line that comes straight off of a water tank that's back in the back of the industrial park. And you would have to lay that line basically to the entrance of Houston Mills. So we would have to lay a 12-inch, it's a 6-inch now, so we would have to lay a 12-inch pipe. It's about 4,000 feet, I believe. And the estimated cost on that project is about $1.1 million. Ballpark. Okay? Option two is to build a new water tank on the hill. If we're going to do that, obviously we're going to want to put something into that that's going to benefit all of the residents, because it's a pretty sizable expense that if we just built it for y'all would not benefit the rest of the community. And also, what Shane mentioned about depreciation comes into play also, because unfortunately for utilities, they have to depreciate every asset on the books, which means that we have to generate revenue to offset the cost of what we own. It's not like TDOT or the city's general fund. They don't appreciate it. So if we spend a dollar, we've got to book a dollar, and we've got to appreciate the dollar. So what I estimated was we've actually have been looking at new tank for the town, and so I said, okay, what if we just build a 1 million gallon tank on top of that hill? Okay. 1 million gallon tank on top of that hill is going to cost just shy of $4 million. Okay. Somebody mentioned the pump station at the bottom of the hill. So that one kind of creates is a little different. As Mayor or Shane, I don't remember which one mentioned it. When you increase the pressure on the top of the hill, you also increase the pressure at the bottom of the hill. So if you have 35 pounds at the entrance of Houston Hills, your neighbor at the very end of the salt division, the very bottom of the hill, he's probably got 75 pounds. Okay? So every pound I increase at the top increases a pound at the bottom. So then it becomes a fine line of, if I push 25, 30 pounds on top of the hill, now I've got the bottom of the hill to over 100 pounds. So now the people who, somebody's got a booster pump, get it in, and there's a guy down at the bottom that's got a regulator valve because he's got too much pressure. The problem with putting in a larger pump is just that. You don't get flow without pressure. So in order for us to get the flow into the fire hydrants, we're going to have to get 500 gallons a minute in that hydrant, you're probably going to add 30 to 40 PSI to that system. So you could do that, obviously, in a fire situation. Your neighbor's probably not going to be upset if his water heater blows up because your house is not on fire anymore. But when he blows his water heater up, the city's the one that blew it up, so now they're going to come to the city and want a new water heater because we put your house out, right? So the pump station situation is something we have looked at. To upgrade, I don't know that we could upgrade the station that's there, but what I looked at was putting in a new station that would put in a basically some domestic pumps for lower flow, and then you have to have a larger pump for fire flow. That option comes in just right around $600,000. So those are the three options that we have so far. The fire chief and I talked about a couple other things that we might could do in the interim that might help with the situation. But as you can see, none of them are cheap. And, you know, the thing about the fire pump situation is you're talking about spending $600,000 and it benefits just your particular community, right? Not saying that you don't deserve it, but yes, ma'am.
Is it not going to benefit the subdivision that's right there with us?
No, ma'am.
Bottom of the hill?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
The booster pump station would not, it would have to be located in such a, the way the system is laid out, it would have to be located at such a point that it was directing flow into the business. Otherwise, we're going to be boosting pressure down here. We're going to be, we call it pressure zones and get into a lot of things that create dead ends and things that are not beneficial to the water system. So the fire pump situation would be specifically for the Houston Hill subdivision. So you look at those options and you say, okay, well, which one do we pick? Well, which one do we pick? I don't know. We got an extra $1 million laying around that we can just throw at the problem. And that's why, to the mayor's point, it's not something that's going to be easily overcome. There are potential, you know, some of the grant options available are not going to, grant options unfortunately don't favor this. I don't know about fire grants because I've not got into fire grants, but just water system improvement grants generally don't favor this type of project. They're trying to get water to people that don't have water. They're trying to get, you know, really old infrastructure out of the ground. And in this town, there's way more older lines than what's up there. So you guys would be pretty far down the list if it was an infrastructure problem. So it's a problem that has a solution. It's just, what is the solution? What is the most cost-effective solution? And what benefits the greater system or the greater amount of people for the dollar we spend? So yes,
sir. Your last alternative, and you talked about having too much pressure in the houses. Could each resident not have a pressure regulator put at their meter?
So if we do that, so the utility district has a bound. There's a bound on the pressure. So the state says we've got to provide you at least 20 at the meter. That doesn't mean in your house. I know some of you are talking about having to have pumps because you don't have one. I can give you 20 here if you live 150 feet up the hill. It's not my problem that you haven't got to hit there, right? So, but they're also bounded on the upper limit. So, yes, you can put your own regulator in, but once it crosses a certain threshold, the utility is required to put one in as well. And if I've got to put in 10 regulators, then it serves me better to put in one big regulator to take care of everybody. And then you get into, so now I'm pumping on this side and I'm regulating on that side. So I'm spending money twice to keep the people at the bottom of the hill from water blowing out, and to get the guy on top of the hill enough water that he don't have to have, that he's got enough water to take a shower with on his second story. So yes, it's a possibility. Matter of fact, I believe plumbing code right now requires any new house has to have a regulator. I'm pretty sure that's just standard anymore, whether you need one or not. That's plumbing code requirement. But then if you had a regulator on your side and the water pressure was too high on the utility side and it blew something up in your house, it'd be kind of a hard sell for you to come to the city and then say, "Oh well, your regulator went out," and you say, "Well, you're not supposed to be giving me that much pressure, so my regulator failed because you gave me too much pressure working," right? So again, it's a fine balance. The the solutions that keep the, again, it doesn't help the people right at the highest point, but the solutions that get you more volume without increasing pressure are going to be better long-term solutions for the health of the system and just generally in, to benefit the system as a whole than the booster station option. So, yes, sir.
Is the neighborhood, the entire neighborhood, serviced by one line coming up the hill from the booster? I was told there might be another entrance that it's fed from two different directions.
So I cannot speak 100% to that because the booster, where it's located at, there is a line coming off of that, and then there's also a line that comes up the road. So I don't think there's two, but I don't know.
So the booster takes your money to the townhomes at the very top.
That's what I was thinking.
The line going up Houston Hill is going in to the subdivision there, takes you to the rest of it. And just to give y'all an idea where you're at now, if you're down on Maple Drive, you're running between 60 and 70 pounds of pressure right now. Mm-hmm. You add 30 pounds to that, you're going to start seeing trouble. Mm-hmm. Up on top, we're looking 30 feet. Going down Pin Oak, get up above 50. But like I say, down on that bottom stretch where you got most of your pressure, you're going to be the one to see up. You can start seeing problems.
And what's the pressure has to be at the fire hydrant for it to be
an audible? 20 pounds. So
at the fire hydrant.
Pressure could be whatever the fire hydrant, but the state requires, the way the rules are written, is if they put, and this is where the issue comes in. So if Bob put a pumper on one of the nozzles in Houston Hills, he could suck 500 gallons a minute out of that hydrant. Mm-hmm. The problem is he's probably going to pull negative pressure at the top of the hill, and he's probably going to start collapsing pipes. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of facets to how it's not as simple as you just turn your water hose on and it comes out. You know, there's a lot that goes into it, and that's why it is what it is. I'm not gonna say we should or shouldn't have done it. It is what it is, and right there on top of the hill, that's just where it is. So there are solutions, and like you said, we've obviously looked at them. And now it's just going to be a matter of, okay, is there one that fits a box that we can check that, we can stomach from a financial standpoint that also gives you guys the pressure flow you need and doesn't overtax the system or your own personal homes.
So, might be a stupid question, but I'm not the smartest guy in the room. Is there a middle ground? Because there is such an elevation difference between the top and the bottom, and the number of houses that are fed off the point side and what's on the top, is there a middle ground where you go, okay, from this point down, we need to boost the pressure for fire safety because this is now the second fire that's been up there, a total burnout. We need to increase fire safety, so from this point down, as a utility, we're going to put reducers, knowing we're going to raise the pressure some, 30 pounds to, and all of a sudden we're at 100 pounds and we got to reduce it. Does it make sense for the purpose of, hey, we want our constituents, our people, to be safe and be able to, not worry about their house burning down, that the bottom side we're going to put reducers on? That doesn't work?
So I'm going to say something that's probably going to be very controversial, and Shane can beat me afterwards. But I need everybody to understand something. Public water systems in the state of Tennessee are for potable drinking water. Okay? Fire protection is a secondary effect of that system. So if the option is you get drinking water, you get fire protection, we're always going to promote drinking water. Right? Okay. So to your question, what you would be asking us to do is create a pressure zone. Okay, so right now, everything in town, all the way out to Parker Hill, out to almost the stock barn, and all of Brayton is all on one zone. all that water comes out of the tank here in town. We have a tank up on Parker Hill that serves all the high side of the county, right? If I built a pressure zone just for the top of the hill, okay, then you're talking about adding cost to all of the ratepayers so that 12 people or whatever can have high enough pressure, right? So can it be done? Yes. I'm not saying it can't. Is it economical? No. Because it's not fair to the other 3,880 customers that are served by the water system to pay for two dozen to have a special area on top of the hill. Now, can a thing be it? Could we investigate other options? Maybe. But just in the general sense of things, it's not, that is not an economical way for the town to spend the rate pressure. Okay. So, but it could be done. I'm sorry, I should have started with that. It could be done. It's just not an option that we've explored. Mayor, I was just so sorry.
Oh.
You tell me when to stop answering questions. Jane asked me to start, and you know how I am. So I'll answer every question I ask, but y'all want to cut it off.
You're
go
right.
Ahead, I'm sorry.
Why were fire hydrants put over there if they weren't going to be able to be
used?
Well,
that's something else.
And who does that?
So,
the developer, the city, or who?
Well, here, let me put something out there for you. Right now today, if I wanted to put a new fire hydrant in, I have to be able to meet the flow requirements. Okay, that's the law today. When Houston Hills was built, that law was not in place. It was not required to meet any specific fire flow. A fire hydrant back then, and not only that, but the fire equipment was very different. The pumper trucks didn't have the pumping abilities, the men, the equipment, it was just different. So, you know, to ask, why were you allowed to do that? Well, why did we used to have cars without seatbelts? Right? I mean, times change, rules change, regulations change. And unfortunately, you've got a water system that was built when there were no regulations, or there were lesser regulations, and now they've implemented regulations today that don't fit that box. So it's not that they did anything wrong or improper. It was different. The time was different. The way people looked at things was different. So to say they did it wrong is not proper, because they did exactly what they were supposed to do for the time they were in. Today we have to do it different. It's just where you're at is free that.
Shane, this one's on you. Shane.
On this?
Okay. Here's my question. Maple Drive, we've got at least at this point in time three areas that's buckled up. Is it because there's too much water down at the bottom of the hill?
I'm working on those places.
But do you know, is it because of water?
No, I don't get into why.
Well, what I'm thinking, if there's water down there that we can pump back up, would that help? So I didn't know if it was a water issue or not, because like I said...
No. It's not water.
I'm trying to get you on your road, okay? All right, go ahead.
I got one more question.
Right.
Has there ever been a thought about a full-time fire department in Woodbury? I know it's expensive. I know it is. We've got a fire hall that's awesome.
We've got a what you might call a...
And what?
No, it's a flop tape. We've got what you might call a hybrid fire department. We're not a voluntary fire department. We're not a full-time fire department. Volunteer fire departments are completely volunteer. You know, firemen volunteer. Our firefighters actually get paid when they go out by the fire.
Sure.
So it's kind of a hybrid. I designed the new fire hall for if we ever decide to put on a couple full-time firemen. So I have thought about that. I have thought about that. But right now it's just not. It's just not. We don't have the funds for that. And not really, you know, we don't really have the need for it, you know, right now, so. All right.
I got a question.
Yeah.
When they get the grant for the new water tank, do they condemn the old water tank?
The one that has the Woodbury on the top of it. I remember when they got the grant, they talked about taking that one offline and a new tank replacing it with some grant like 2 years ago.
The one here, the one up here that's got Woodbury?
Yeah, behind the
park. The one behind the park.
That's not been in service many, many years. That had nothing to do with it. The tank we built, we tore down, the old tank was out there.
Yeah, that tank you're talking about, we leased that out to sell the cell phone tires. So.
So that one's not functional and doesn't have any opportunity to provide fire water.
And we wouldn't tear that one down for anything. That's a Woodbury icon. I mean, he really is. I mean,
he was. We utilize
it. So, all right. We got any more questions for this? I've learned a lot tonight.
I guess I'm just kind of thinking, because when I built my house just a few years ago, one of the first questions my insurance agent asked me was, you know, if you have fire hydrants that got fire out across the street, this is going to be great. Do I need to be calling him and telling him?
I wouldn't.
No, I know it's going to go up. That's what I'm saying. Because when... if my house catches on fire, and they say, hang on, the fire department, it burned to the ground because y'all didn't have no water, I'm in a bad spot with my insurance company now. Because I was sold a bill of goods. I've got a fire hydrant here that nobody disclosed. It really don't work.
Yeah, well, you know what? I wouldn't call my insurance company. I wouldn't.
No. But when they call me after the house burns down and say, well, you got no response and there wasn't any water there, that's what I'm saying my problem is going to be one day. That's what you got to think about is, I've been told there's a fire hydrant here. Oh, it's decorative. That's a bad scene. All the way around.
It might be something you want to discuss that with your insurance.
So Shane, I may have misunderstood this. Y'all have to guarantee us 20 pound of pressure to our meters, correct? What do you have to guarantee us to the fire hydrants? 20 or nothing? Nothing, because it's a second.
That's what Matthew speaks to now. I've turned down most in the county. The stipulation, if you put in a subdivision, it has to have X amount of fire. If the system will support it. If the system will not support it, I have to write a letter saying we're not going to put in fire hydrants. And they're going to build. Now, that's the way it is now. If I was here, and if Houston Hills going in now, there would be a fire hydrant in the subdivision.
Because you couldn't support it.
They would support it. And that's just the way it is now. I can't speak to how it was then. I have no idea. But That's just the way it is now. And I've turned down several subdivisions in the county because of that. And I mean, I'd love for them to have it. It's doing no good. Like y'all wouldn't be doing any good.
Hey, and I don't lay stuff off on, hey, I wasn't here when that went together, because I'm here now. You know, I'm here now. It doesn't matter if it's something that I inherited, the problem I inherited. I asked for the job, so I got it. So. But again, like I said, I learned a lot. I didn't know we was that far ahead with the engineer. So I'll be talking to him more, and we'll lay out some figures and bring it forward to the board and see what we're going to do.
And this board has that. This board has been added. Just like Matthew speaking of, there's a lot of water lines that we've replaced in town. We're working on some in the county now, but we've replaced a lot of water lines in town that were undersized, and some of the earliest water lines in town. And it just comes down to picking which ones you need to go first. A lot of time.
All right. Okay.
To move things along, I make a motion to approve both parade permits for the homecoming parade and
the other. Hey, we're going to kill two birds with a stone. Everybody, if you want to approve those parades, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that is done. Next item would be consider bid for Short Mountain Road water line replacement project. I believe y'all got those in your packet. That's what all this is.
Go ahead.
All right. Is there any discussion on that? Anybody? That's our ARPA money, Shane, that we're spending?
Yes.
Okay, then that's, we've been talking about that for a while, but we got the money, and now we're going to spend it. Again, that's one of the projects I was talking about, that it's time sensitive. We've got to get that money spent before we run out of time, if we've only got a limited amount of time to spend that money. So, you have your bids in front of you. I think the low bid was $2,371,400. And that was by Hawkins and Price. Is that right, Shane?
Yes.
All right. Do I have a motion to approve that bid?
Motion to approve.
All right. Second motion. I have a second. Charlene, would you take a roll call count on it, please?
Yes. Lou-Ann Curley?
Yes.
Adam Melton?
Yes.
Harold Patrick?
Yes.
Faye Knox?
Yes.
And Hayden Bryson?
Affirmed.
All right. So approved. All right. Next item is consider bid for striping on Adam Street. I believe y'all got that here in front of you. Shane handed out tonight. It's not in the package. And that's just what it is, that we're going to strap Adam Street. It's something we've been needing to done for a while. He said lines on...
Are you talking about West Adams?
Yeah, the bypass. Yeah, the bypass.
And you have two options. We had one bit of Hawkins Asphalt. They've done a lot of work for us in the past. They do a good job, but they were on one, came in with a bid. They have two options. One option is $10,441.20. Best way I explain it, that's just regular paint. The $20,000 option is thermoplastic paint, shows up a little better than that. It's what the state uses. It's supposed to hold up better.
Have we used that before?
We hadn't done any striping before, right?
We did on College Street.
Yeah.
I didn't use it there.
Well, Shane, is the difference worth it? I mean, we've got a difference here of $10,000.
On New Road, yes. I would not want to on that road because Matthew and I are looking at ways. What needs to happen on Adam Street, we need to go down Adam Street, place the sewer and water. When we do that, we'll have to pave Adam Street.
Yeah.
I move we approve $10,000.
All right. I have a motion and a second to approve the $10,000. Charlene, a roll call.
Lou-Ann Curley?
Yes.
Adam Melton?
Yes.
Harold Patrick?
Yes.
Faye Knox?
Yes.
Hayden Bryson?
Affirmative.
All right. So moved. All right. All right. Next item. Public hearing regarding ordinance number 540. I'll open this public hearing. Public hearing on ordinance 540, ordinance of the town of Woodbury, Tennessee, amending ordinance number 363, section 1, by changing the competitive bid amount from $10,000 to $25,000. Okay, y'all understand what that is? That means that right now, anything over $10,000 has to go out for bids. It's just like this project right here for striping. You know, we've had to wait and take bids. Hey, if we moved this on out to the $25,000, we wouldn't have done that. We could have just done it. And there's some things that need to be done now that we need to get done now. And the $10,000 was set years ago when $10,000 went somewhere, and it don't go anywhere now. So there that is. Do I have any comment on that? All right, I'm going to close the public hearing on that. Next item is consider adoption of ordinance number 540 on second and final reading.
So moved. All
right, we have a second. We have a motion and a second.
Moved. Second.
I need to take the roll call.
Okay. Lou-Ann Curley?
Yes.
Adam Melton?
Yes.
Harold Patrick?
Yes.
Faye Knox?
Yes.
Hayden Bryson?
Affirmed. All right, so moved. Next item is consider adoption of ordinance number 541 on first reading, an ordinance to amend the zoning map of the town of Woodbury, Tennessee, to rezone a parcel of land located off Auburntown Road from R1 residential zoning district to R2 residential zoning. That has went before the
planning.
The planning commission, and they suggested to bring it here. And we will not be considered spot zoning, so I mean, it's okay to do it, so. And I do know that this fellow that's going to do this, he has went to TDOT. I think he met with them about internet and all that. I don't know anything about the light. I know the light wasn't turned down because of that. You know, I don't know, but I remember when we considered lighting in our 10 Alderman down road, and the cost was the reason that we turned it down. But anyway, can I get a motion on that?
I want to express an opinion. All right. Do I make that after the motion is made?
No, second. Let's get a motion in the second first.
Okay. I make a motion that we adopt ordinance 541 on first reading.
All right, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second motion.
I have a second. All right, discussion?
Yes, I'm not in favor of this. I'm in favor of putting a home there.
Okay, vote against it then.
Is that the only thing?
What else can you do?
Well, there's another thing about years ago, and this was probably 40 years back, was there's a natural drainage ditch to that property that goes down to a culvert down at the corner of the property where Lois Lammer owns now, or did own. And it went underneath Allentown Road, spills into a bigger line that goes down to the river. And the reason that they put that in, it was too small, because it wasn't carrying all the water. So they put in a great big line. And since that time, it's been taking care of that. I don't think putting anything other than a home right there is
I think anything other than a home is going to interfere with the natural land. We don't know what is going in there. This right here says there's going to be townhomes.
He made application for that subdivision, for that plot, 1/10 of an acre.
Told me he's going to put 3 homes there.
Here's what it says right here on the application that he made for the planning commission right here. And it says proposed use is townhomes. Okay. It also says that we're supposed to have the recommendation be forwarded to the board of mayor and aldermen. And in that pack that we're supposed to get to vote on this, the petitioner should be prepared to present a detailed justification showing the changes needed and will benefit the general welfare and not the vested interest of a few persons. I'd like to see that. Okay. I'd like to see that, what he presented to the planning commission in order to get that passed. Of course, I understand that they passed it and sent it to us to vote on.
Okay, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing now. And vote against it, Hayden, is all I can tell you, is vote against it. I've got a motion and a second. We've got your discussion, and now I'm going to call for a...
Are you shutting down my discussion?
No, I'm not. No, you discuss till you're done. You tell me when you're done, discuss it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, there's one other thing.
All right.
The town of Woodbury, the newspaper, was used on September 24th to notify the public of this meeting on October the 8th at 7 p.m. Why was there not a notice put in at that time about notifying the public, where it says in here that following adequate public notice of a board meeting? And it's my understanding you only print that on second reading. Seems like that's not adequate enough public notice, because none of the public here knew about it. Anybody here knew about if there was going to be any kind of a vote tonight on?
We only knew because we were at the planning commission.
And we have, and I've been very avid about this development going in, because I was privy when TDOT was there and told the applicant's developer that if they went in with a residential, they had no problem with that. But if they went in with townhomes, they'd have to get sent to Chattanooga. And this is where I brought the traffic thing, because if Chattanooga then is going to require a traffic light, because they were saying at that time in January that Alberton does meet the requirement for a traffic light there. And if it's going to tie the city into maintaining a traffic light, that's going to be another expense you're going to have to incur if you go ahead with the R2 and townhomes are built.
I just know that this is what he's applied for. He's applied for the zoning change. This is the way it reads. I only know what it reads right here. He applied for the zoning change to build a townhome. Now, is that apartments like he's got on the other pieces of property? Is that what that is? It seems to me like...
He told me he was going to build third houses.
That he was going to build a house.
Though. Three houses.
Three houses. On an eight-tenths of an acre lot.
Well, that's glad you did get there to third house.
I would just like to say, I looked at my lot. I had it surveyed several years ago. And within 10 or 15 feet, that lot's the same size as my lot on College Street. And I don't think three houses could go on my lot comfortably.
I don't think you'd get three houses on that lot either.
So. I'd be more than glad for him to build a home there.
Right, one home.
I'd vote for that tonight. But I don't vote for him to put townhomes right there. It's right. It's not situated. While I'm on this, I'm not going to say anything else because I've been very patient. I appreciate y'all's patience with me speaking. But I'd like for the public to be notified, just like they were notified of this proposed change in the amount of a competitive bid back on September the 24th. That's 2 weeks ago. That the public was notified about that, and they could have been notified about this right here from the Planning Commission, because the Planning Commission passed this in, hang on, I think the 15th of last
17th.
Month. Was it the 15th?
No, the 17th.
Of last month. 17th. And the public hadn't known about it till tonight. They hadn't been notified about it. I think that's in the future. I think it would be better if the public were notified before the first reading. That's all I've got to say.
All right. I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Have three ayes. Two no's. So moved.
And that's just the first reading.
That's right. It's just the first reading.
We've got another opportunity. This is just the first reading.
I'm just saying, Faye, that the public didn't know about it.
Well,
did the public know we was going to have first reading tonight?
All right, we're done with that subject there. Next item is...
Well, why was he done with it, Andy? It says adequately notified. Adequate notice. Have we adequately notified the public?
We're done with this item tonight because we've passed it. We passed it on first reading.
Thank you. I know you're happy about that. I know you are. Go ahead. Next.
Next item, consider adoption of ordinance number 542 on first reading and ordinance to adopt the Woodbury zoning map.
This is the new zoning map I'm sending y'all. Sorry I don't have one copy. Working on getting more, y'all may look at it. There has been a few annexations that were added, some in Tanglewood, one I can think of. I think this right here was annexed, right here beside the state garage. We had zoning clarification down here on this lot, but y'all are welcome to look at it, see if you've seen. I want you to look at it, just not tonight, sometime between now and the second reading and public hearing. I want y'all to look at it, make sure we haven't missed anything. We went back through ordinances going back to 2006.
I believe, yeah.
And that's the last time we had a zoning map update. And we think we've got it right.
Did you say that portions of Tanglewood have been brought into the city?
Yes, there were two lots up there by Jimmy Lester. On Tanglewood Drive.
Okay. There was one where it went right through.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
It was a real problem with voting because
mm-hmm.
the house was
right.
in the city and the yard was in the county.
Right,
and, yeah.
right. Yeah.
But these two lots right here are the ones that came in.
Okay.
Like I say, I believe this is, I believe this came in, it wasn't originally in. That's where those townhomes are, beside, or apartments beside the state garage is now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And that's all I can remember off the top of my head.
I'm
we had a zoning clarification on this. You remember it came up about the Kaufman property down there?
Right.
Like I say, digging back through and working with Mr. Corley, we went through ordinances and came up, found where that was on, brought annexed, brought in as this, and then it became this, and went back and found all that. So that should be right. But like I said, between now and then, I want y'all to look at that and see if you see anything we've missed.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. This will be this.
I move we adopt the zoning map in the first reading.
All right, I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No. I'd really like to spend more time with it since how this is the first time I've seen it. But I guess that matters.
All right, next item, consider adopting ordinance number 543 on first reading, an ordinance granting the mayor authority to execute an interlocal agreement with Canyon County for common building permit issuance and collection fees. Is David Robinson out there? Oh, look, there he is. Hey, what this is, we're simply, we're not going to handle building permits here anymore since the county has a land use office. That does all that, and you know, I think we make $10 or $15 on a building permit. And the first thing we do after to get a building permit is we send them to them, but you know, collect impact tax. We got to send them to them anyway. So what this will do is this will just kind of consolidate that. Somebody building will still have to come to us. If it's going to be something declared with the planning commission or anything like that, they'll have to come to us for that. But this is just kind of lumping that together.
Well, it streamlines the process.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does.
Have a
motion to
adopt. And a second.
Have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Next thing we'll talk about is consider changing the regular meeting date in November to November the 4th instead of the 5th, being that the 5th is election night.
I make a motion that we have our next meeting on November the 12th. It'll be the week, the Tuesday night after. It'll be the second Tuesday night of the month. It'll be after the election.
All right, I have a motion to have the meeting on the 12th. To have a second. All right, don't have a second on that, so that motion falls on the floor. What about the 4th? To have a motion to have it on the 4th.
I make a motion that we have our regular meeting on November the 4th.
All right, I have a motion for the 4th. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor of the 4th?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
All right. So moved. All right. Report time. Lloyd, got anything?
No report.
Shane, I think you've reported enough. Bob, he's out there. He don't have anything to report. I don't have anything to report. I think Charlene has something that she wants to report tonight.
I have one other thing. I went to see Adams Street, and I compliment the city on what they did as far as cleaning that up. It looks so much better. And now I have another project for you. It's located at 206 East Water Street. It's right over the hill here. It's right beside Miss Sue Glimpse Alexander House. And if you drive by there, you can't see the house.
Yeah, that's what you say. You can't even see the house in there.
I think that would be another project that you need to take on. And I know you have to go through the legal process, because I know we took about a year with Adams Street, and the chief did.
Yeah, I talked to Sue about that too. I reckon. So and she told me it's a road up that her sister gave you the TV reception on her antenna. So we'll look at that. Charlene, go ahead.
Okay. I just want to let you all know tonight that I am planning to retire in the next few months. I've had it on my mind with no definite date and time. I still don't have a definite date. But with the passing of my mother, my family situation has changed, so it's time for me to get on the ball and make it happen. So in order to facilitate a smooth transition for this business office here and for the mayor and the board, I would like to recommend that you go ahead and appoint a city recorder to fill my position. I serve as a city recorder, and I also serve as a city municipal finance officer, which I can still hold that role, you know. The state says that all towns with a population of more than 1,500 have to have a certified city recorder and a CMFO. A certified city recorder needs 100 hours of education, and to obtain the CMFO, I believe it is 80 hours. It's a rigorous thing to go through. The CMFO is especially, and it's a time-consuming thing. And I would like for you all to go ahead and make a decision about, fulfilling my role is that. And I recommend that you appoint Brooke Young. She is here tonight. She has worked for the city for 8.5 years, since 2016. She and her family are lifelong residents of Cannon County. And her father-in-law owns a local business here in town. And she's a graduate of Cannon County High School. And she went on to earn her associate degree in radiology from Fortis Institute. I don't know why she don't want to be doing x-rays instead of working at City Hall, but I'm glad she does. And she's proven to be a very dedicated, responsible, and dependable employee who is very capable of performing all the duties and responsibilities of the city recorder and eventually CMFO. And Andy and I both have discussed this with MTAS, our MTAS consultant, and they concurred that this is the best succession plan for a smooth transition for everybody. And like I said, she's here. She has general knowledge. She doesn't know everything I do. And it's not going to be learned, you know, in a short amount of time. but I want to be here with her, or, you know, to go through this. And like I said, I want to get her enrolled as soon as possible in some upcoming classes and conferences that will afford her some of the hours that she needs and get her started on this. And at this time, nothing will change. No benefits, no pay, nothing like that at this time will change.
Will you be able to stay until she finishes all of her training?
Well, I'll be close by. I'll be close by. As you all know, our fiscal year runs from July 1st to June 30th. The ideal time for me to retire would be June 30th. Now, I would love to go a little sooner, and I have a lot of time built up that I could do that, but I'm available. You know, I will always be available to help out. I don't want to leave this. Never would I want to leave the city in a bad spot, you know, or anything. But I think she's here. I think it's a wise thing to do, to promote from within. If you have a responsible, dependable, reliable, capable person like I know Brooke to be.
You sold me. I make a motion.
I have a motion. And I have a second to approve the appointment of Ms. Brooke Young, radiology. I didn't know you did radiology. Mm-hmm. You see that through me on that.
Any discussion on that?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Well, I think you might be in a little bit of haste here trying to appoint somebody. Thank you. You're wanting to split city recorder and financial officer that you're going to make keep. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. City financial officer is going to be your duty.
I serve a dual role right now. Yeah.
City recorder is going to be her duty. Mm-hmm.
It's still going to be my duty, too.
Well, you're going to be giving that up, and I think that should probably...
I want her to have that title so she can go ahead and start getting enrolled in these classes.
I'm not sure of the procedures as far as the rules, as far as city hiring.
You don't need any procedures or rules if you're promoting from within. If you're promoting from within...
Well, she's already working.
I know, but right? She's being promoted from within to the position of city recorder. Okay. So you don't need to go through the advertising and all that kind of stuff.
And we have a history of promoting from within when someone is qualified.
Yeah.
Brooke is qualified. There is a motion. That motion's been seconded.
I was just asking questions. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's all. I just want to make sure we're doing it right.
We're doing it right.
Well, here we go.
Have no fault with the same process.
The lawyer says there's no problem.
Here we go. Call the roll.
Ready?
Oh, wait a minute. That's my job. Have a motion. Have a second. Charlene. Yes.
Okay. Lou Ann Curley.
Yes.
Adam Melton.
Yes.
Harold
yes.
Patrick. Faye Knox.
Yes.
Hayden Bryce. Thank you.
So moved.
Move to adjourn.
Charlene, that would be good.